We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands we are recording from today, the Yugambeh people and the Gadigal people.
We pay our respects to the elders past and present and celebrate the diversity of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and their ongoing cultures and connection to country.
You're listening to the Mum's Gone Climbing podcast.
We're on a mission to deliver high-quality climbing and adventure resources to badass climbing mamas.
And redefine motherhood one episode at a time.
With incredible guests.
Very bad humour.
And just enough Kleenex moments to keep things interesting.
So grab yourself a cuppa or plug us in on the way to the crag.
As we bring you the latest beta from the Mum's Gone Climbing crew. Hi guys, welcome to the show. I am Eva Rosenbaum.
And I am Nell Gao, and we will be your hosts for today's episode, the first one back for Series 4 with the incredible Leah Crane. But first of all, we want to give a big shout out to our sponsors for this series and this episode. So excited to welcome back Urban Climb and Climbing Anchors.
It's fabulous to have them back on board. And like Season 4, we need a little like moment to acknowledge that.
I can't believe it. Like episode 31, this is. It's just absolutely nuts, but also so damn cool.
A quick intro into our sponsors if you're not already familiar with them. Climbing Anchors, they are your one-stop shop for everything gear that you need. They've got stores in Victoria and New South Wales. Victoria in Fitzroy. New South Wales, their main store in Alexandria, and mini stores at Lane Cove and Waterloo. They've got a pretty cool social media presence as well. And a shout out to say thank you, because this morning they put up some fantastic video about how to check your harness to see when it needs to be retired. And I found it very helpful and proceeded to get my three harnesses out to make sure they're okay for an upcoming trip.
You have three harnesses?
Well, I mean, one of them's my brother's. He just left it here. And then I have two. One, because it's a bit old. Okay. And so then I bought another one. And I don't just cycle them. I just have three in my possession.
I love that. Like in my head, I'm like, she's like pulled out these three immaculate harnesses that are just like for color coordinating or something like that. I was like, Eva, I'm so jealous.
No, I do that at work. I color coordinate my scrubs and my stethoscope. And sneakers. Well, I try to. I'm not brilliant at it.
Oh my gosh. This is adorable. I now need to have like photos of you at work. Just different Evas. We'll share them on our stories. It'll be like adorable. Great. I love this.
Everyone will love it. Yeah.
It's like kid just being like the fashionista of the ER. I love it. You got to do something to get you through those like long night shifts, right?
Yes, I agree with, yes.
I wouldn't know personally because I've never worked night shifts, because even the thought of doing that absolutely scares the bejesus out of me.
It should, yeah.
It should. I know enough people who have done it to be like, my thoughts about this are correct.
Absolutely, yeah. If you're thinking this ain't for me, yeah.
But anyway, we do really love Climbing Anchors, and I do love that little video that they've put up, and they're so wonderful with their social media. And I actually did a really big order of them for an upcoming trip that's coming up as well, which is really exciting. But also we should talk about Urban Climb, because love these guys. They've just been with us, as we say always, but from the start. If you don't know who they are, they run gyms. They've got three in Queensland, in Brisbane. They've got Milton, Newstead, and West End, which is incredible. Actually, I'm lying. They've got four in Queensland. They've also got one up in Townsville. And they've got two down in Victoria at Blackwood and Collingwood. They have an incredible community presence. They have amazing events and amazing workshops. Go to their website and check it all out. All of the notes are in our show notes. And they've just been with us for such a long time. And obviously they've been supporting the podcast now. This is for the third series they've done with us, and they were also our sponsor for the Mum's Gone Climbing documentary that came out back in 2021. But I guess some exciting news with that as well.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. So it's traveled the world with a group of like incredible different adventure film festivals, and the latest one that we are now in for November coming up is the Femmes in Montagne, and it's a French film festival all about women in the mountains.
Like most people would have picked that from your fabulous accent.
Oh, I still don't know if I pronounced it correctly, but thank you.
It's fabulous.
It's in Annecy. It's from the 2nd to the 5th of November. Everything that they've got going on over those 4 days, absolutely incredible. And it's the first time our film will be showing with French subtitles, which I just find really exciting and absolutely amazing.
It's so exciting.
It's really, really cool. And obviously one of the women, actually Olga, who's in the film, was the one who helped us to translate it all as well. So we've really kept it in the family when we went into this project.
How special.
Yeah, it's super special. And like, speaking of around the world, how's our local communities going?
I know, right? They're popping up everywhere. What have we got now? Southeast Queensland, Sydney, Melbourne, Hobart. They're all up and running.
They are. They're all up and active. And just like, so love seeing all the different like conversations going on between people on these Facebook pages with all the groups. I'm like, oh my gosh, everyone's like becoming close friends. I love it.
It's such a special community. And then there's Vancouver have had some outdoor meetups recently. Belgium have started to connect. And now, who do we welcome now?
Who do we welcome now? So our new ones that have come on, I guess in the last month to 2 months, we've got our first one in England, Northwest England. So I know they're about to like have their first meetup in October. And we've also got Temecula Valley in California and Austin, Texas. So welcome to the family, guys. It's so good to have you. And very excited to see like the impact that those local communities can start making around the world. It's just beautiful to see.
It's very special.
Very special. You know what else is very special is our guest today. I'm really like, this conversation was a joy. Like, I don't know how else to explain it.
It was a joy. And she's just got the most energizing approach, right? And like outlook. Mm. I think I say that a lot about our guests, but I'm always left really inspired, especially, you know, her discussions around the transition to motherhood and her approach to training as a coach. And, you know, we're talking about an Olympic level athlete, right? Like,
yeah,
I had these expectations.
She went, she was at, so we're talking about Leah Crane. She's from the UK. She spent many, many years, you know, on the international level climbing competitions. She has been coaching Shauna Coxey for quite a few years now and went to the Tokyo Olympics with Shauna. And she just has this really beautiful philosophy around training and coaching that uses play.
Yeah.
And that she kind of came up with Shauna, and she goes through all of this. And it's just the best. Like, I could not love it any more than I do.
Yeah, it's contagious.
Absolutely contagious. And I think, shall we just drop in with that? Let's do it.
I think we should.
Hope you enjoy. Hello, Leah. Welcome to the Mum's Gone Climbing podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Pretty excited about this conversation because you've done lots of amazing things and been lots on amazing journeys. But we thought a cool way to start off the podcast would be, can you give us an intro to Leah Crane, like who you are, what you do, any fun bits you want to throw in there as well?
Do you know the amount of interviews that I've done and they're like, okay, so tell me a bit about you. And I'm like, so I am Leah. I am currently 34. Climbing since I was the age of 4, really. Started competition climbing when I was 7. I've always loved sport, whatever it was. I have an older brother and an older sister, and I wanted to do whatever my older brother did. So kayaking, climbing, he was in the Scouts. I wanted to be a Girl Scout. So that kind of led my way of sports, and climbing was the one that really stole my heart. Climbing and gymnastics were kind of level pegging for a really long time. And then I realized that gymnastics was only really ever going to take me to the inside of a sports hall and dance around the leotard. So I've obviously learned lots of cool moves along the way, and I can handstand really well. But climbing was the thing that was going to show me the world and meet loads of people, really cool people. Like, I'm on this podcast with you now because of climbing. So today I am a climbing coach I love coaching climbing. Again, I started coaching from a really young age, just at my local wall. I've done loads of route setting. That used to be a job that I used to do. And I really kind of love any creative outlet. So whether it's, you know, route setting or making jewellery, or I love doing like crafts and stuff at home. And yeah, kind of doing a bit of climbing along the way. Was on the GB climbing team for a lot of years. I don't even want to count. And now all of that is behind me. I guess with the little snippet of the Olympics in there a couple of years ago. And here I am today as a mom. And that's, I'm hoping, me in a nutshell.
Well, that's quite a nutshell.
Well, maybe that's a big
very impressive. Yeah. I think that's one of the big things we want to talk to you about, right, is that journey, especially around the Olympics and the build-up. I think coming back a step, given you're a new mum, we're really interested in hearing about how that change, that reconfiguration was for you. So you had a pretty epic lead up. Like in 2020, you were preparing for the Olympic Games with Shauna Coxey, and then there was COVID, and then the Games got pushed back to 21. And then in 2022, you became pregnant. And in February this year, you gave birth. Can you share with us a bit about what that's been like? Like you've gone from training literally for the Olympics to being a mum.
Yeah, I think being a mum's easier. Well, I think it is actually definitely easier. When the Olympics got announced that climbing was going to be involved, obviously there was a lot of excitement and there was a lot of people that wanted to get involved. Shauna ended up qualifying. She wanted me on her team, and it was kind of head down, get training really hard. But I guess the overarching thing about the Olympics is it's not just about the climbing. Like speaking rather kind of candidly about it is there's so much more in the bigger picture, whether it's politics, money. When you're actually involved, it's, I guess, a very different image that you get from when you're actually just watching the Olympics. And that was a real eye-opener for me. Obviously, with COVID mixed in, it added a whole new level of stress. And so for me at the time, like the idea of kids wasn't, it was something that we wanted to do in the future. And we were not necessarily planning it, but, you know, it was always going to be there. But there was absolutely no headspace to start thinking about children at the time. And then when it got pushed back a year, I guess in that respect, it didn't really affect me too much because, again, I wasn't really thinking about kids. I think for anyone, for an athlete who was wanting to get pregnant straight after the Olympics, that was probably quite a stressful thing for them. But I was like, whatever, like we're on lockdown. And I think a big part of my character is actually I have quite a strong ability to just adapt, accept, a bit more of a realist. I just go with the flow and we're like, okay, that's this situation, so this is what we're going to do now. And I'm able to plan B. So when that hit, I was quite flexible with it, but it also meant I had loads of time at home. I actually felt really guilty because obviously we couldn't go anywhere and do anything, and my other half works in a kind of school education and travel business, so he was like stressed to the nines because there's loads of kids that couldn't go traveling, and I'm like, la la la. Not really much to do. But obviously all that blew over and the Olympics did happen, COVID kind of aside. And when I got back, and the Olympics was done, it was such a breath of fresh air. It was just like this big thing that had lifted and there was so much, it was like a pressure cooker. Yeah, and I got back home and I was just like, oh, relief. Like, but then immediately as well, I was like, what now? Like, there's this big thing that's just happened and like, oh, it's done. We've ticked it. And so, yes, kind of after that, I got a job as a head coach at a climbing wall in Sheffield called the Climbing Hangar. And it was, again, another breath of fresh air because I could actually kind of pick and choose how I wanted to run the coaching per se and like my values and kind of have a bit of influence about how things worked there. And that was a really nice feeling to have. And then I thought, are we ready to have a kid? And again, my other half, he's very much the planner, the forecaster. He loves a spreadsheet. He has everything like worked out. And I'm the one that's like, whatever, go with the flow, like just kind of bounce along. We did have a conversation around when should we try for a kid? Because I'm very much of the opinion as well of we didn't actually know if we could have children. And everyone's always said, do you want kids? And I'm always like, yeah, but obviously it'd be good if I can. And they were like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, I don't know if I can have kids. Like, everyone plans on having a family, but do you know that you can have a family? So I actually went and got some scans just to see like how my ovaries were and eggs and stuff. And that was a couple of years ago, just to see like time frame wise. And he did his spreadsheets, like financial, boring, whatever. And it was like, well, you know, if we had a kid now, then we could actually make it work. It, you know, that would be fine. So that was kind of not necessarily filled. I don't want to say filled a void, but like after the Olympics, it was such a big thing. And then I started a new job and I was like, well, this is life now. Like we're kind of, I'm steady along. The Olympics was like this massive turbulent storm of what felt like things just go wrong, to a big climax of just like, this is absolutely mind-blowing. I can't believe we're at the Olympics. This is crazy. And then we're back home and you sat on your couch and you're like... And then I felt like it wasn't actually that long, and I got two lines on a pregnancy test the morning of actually going to a friend's hen do, which wasn't ideal. And obviously, again, like the realist in me, even though I had two lines on that pregnancy test, didn't mean that we were actually going to have a kid. So we didn't want to tell anyone, just... as it was literally, I think I took an early pregnancy test. I want all the information possible. And I was like waiting and waiting. And there was like the faintest possible line. And obviously I'd read that that might not necessarily mean you're pregnant. So yeah, we didn't tell anyone, but that was interesting because I didn't drink. I didn't go in the hot tub. I didn't go gill scrambling, which is like, I don't know if you know what that is, but like jumping in cold water and stuff. And they were like, Lou, what's wrong? And I was like, oh, I just don't feel very well. Because normally I'm like mad up for that stuff. I'll do anything. So everyone says like, oh, we didn't even click. And I was like, are you sure? Yeah, we found out we got pregnant. Obviously, lo and behold, all the scans were good. And now we've got the little man here. But the Olympics to baby, it's, I guess, a different kind of turbulent. Like, I don't necessarily know what's coming with this one. With the climbing in the Olympics, it was a learning curve, but it was in a world and environment that I knew. And, you know, mine and Shauna's kind of bubble was very familiar. And now, yeah, you're on the wild ride of children. And obviously you've both got them, and like, there's so many people in the world that have got children. You're like, you're not the only one that's got a kid. And you're like, I understand now. And I think back to some of the things I used to think or say, and I'm like, huh, yeah, no. Yeah, I had no idea. And like, I feel like when I'm a mom, blah, 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 and you're like, yeah, just shut up. Just shut up.
It's so true. But you just, you know, I think we've had this conversation a few times. It's, you just, no one can tell you. No one can explain it. And I think because all of our experiences are actually quite different, because, yeah, we're all parents, and I think there's always those things that you can kind of gel on and that you resonate to. But, you know, like, everyone's baby sleeps differently. Everyone's birth is different. And it's just, it's so, and no one gives you a manual and no one can tell you. It's just bizarre.
No, and I think as well, like, the false kind of feeling that I have now is that I'm like, ah, okay, cool. So if, when we have number two, oh, he's awake. I can't see. If we can have a number two, I'm like, okay, so cool, we've got it. And I'm like, no, they are not going to be exactly the same at all. It's going to just be like having the first one all over again. He's just, can I get him? He's just trying to do a sit up. Hey, pudding. Hey, little man.
He's very cute.
He's being chill. I can't really hear him because he's a noise cancelling headphones. So maybe I should have tried this more often. Ah, la la la. He's just looking at me.
I have actually seen them like advertised on my Instagram feed. Is like these noise cancelling headphones, but they're aiming them towards parents who are overstimulated by their child's noise. I'm not joking.
I want to ignore him. No, they're really good, but yeah, I can't really hear much in them. So. Where were we? Sorry. Oh, yeah, having number two. That was it. Having number two. And, you know, ideally that would be something that we would kind of want and go for. Maybe right now I might change my mind again in another 6 months' time. Depends what you do. Looking at his big blue eyes, he's like, what, me? Like, no. yeah, and I guess that would be a whole new roller coaster to ride. So different track, maybe same cart, I don't know.
You just never know. You might have another baby who's really similar, or you might have one that's completely different. I mean, mine are completely different, but
I'm kind of feeling that that's the gist. I mean, to be honest, as much as I'm saying like, oh, him, but he's being a dream at the moment. Sure, I'm up every hour and a half at night, but actually he's really low maintenance. Like, he's really chill. He's just staring at me now.
Yeah, we can see. He's just beautiful.
Yeah. Put it this way. We want a second one, so he can't be doing that bad.
Yes, we do as well. And I have a theory that, because, you know, everyone's like, oh, my first one was a really good sleeper, and then the second one came along and not so much. And I think that part of that is because when you go to have your first child, right, like you go through the pregnancy and it feels like this huge big thing, but you actually don't realize how easy you had it relative to having to then being pregnant with a child, right? And so that's just never going to be relaxing. And then I just think they must pick up on that, right? And they're like, I'm not going to be chilled. Bugger that.
A friend of mine is actually, she's just had a second boy. She's got two boys now, a two-year-old, and she's just had a second one maybe like 5 or 6 weeks ago. And see, it's actually really kind of nice to see her with them, because I'm like, oh, my God. Okay. And obviously, like, their boys, the older one, two-year-old, is like a proper boy. He's just laughing at me. It's just absolute chaos. But at the same time, it's really beautiful to see it ensue. And like, I had my first time being ill a couple of weeks ago. I wrote you an email and said that, and oh my gosh, like, how I don't understand how you do that. And especially if you have more than one, it's like, I need 8 arms, I need a different body to go and do that job. I mean, you know, obviously if it got so bad, then I'm sure my other half would just have to take a day off work. But I was like, no, I don't want to. Like, this is horrible.
Yeah, like Liam emailed me and she's like, how do you do this with more than one kid? And I was like, you do it badly. That's how you do it. Like, there's no grace in it. You survive each day. And when you've got 4 in the household, then like you like just get through it going through like every single person, and then it does another lap.
Because you go back to school and you get it again. Yeah.
Oh my God. Eva's been going through a lot of.
Oh, poor Nell has copped it, because I'm like, ah, I can't do anything. We're just always sick, and then daycare. And anyway, it's like, it's endless, right? Like, it's like an endless roller coaster that you don't know where it's going.
Well, I was going to say, even the name of the podcast, Mum's Gone Climbing, it's like, okay, so I have the, like, the mum side of things where you're just like, rah, all the time dealing with just everything. And then you're like, oh, I meant to go climbing at some point. Oh, when do I do that? Okay. Not now, obviously, because I'm surviving.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. I mean, that's how it all kind of started as well, because I didn't climb for like 5 years after my first child, which I don't recommend that, and I'm sure you're not going to do that. But and then it was funny, because I started leaving the house without the children, and it was to go climbing, and my daughter just kind of, they both just assumed that when I left without them, I was always going climbing. So they'd be always like, Mum's gone climbing. That's how we got our name.
Oh, that's cute.
I love this story.
It's super cute. Yeah. But sometimes I was just going off to do the groceries, but I liked that they thought I was going climbing all the time.
Imagine what they're telling their friends. Like, my mum goes climbing all the time.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Super mum.
And I think, it's such an interesting journey, and you just kind of figure it out. And I just think, you know, showing up, we were talking about this the other day, just like showing up is always like a really good aim, especially in those first couple of years where like everything is so hard. And like, even if you get to the gym and hardly climb, but you get to the gym and get to talk to some good friends and like have a cup of coffee.
That's what climbing is now though, no? You just turn up and you don't really do much and you go home again.
I love it. I love that you were saying, like, of all people, I'm like, sweet. If Leah's saying this, then like, we're doing all right. Hey?
You call it going climbing, but it's more like I'm going to the climbing wall.
Yeah.
Who knows what I may or may not do when I get there?
Yeah.
We'll see.
I'm going to hang out.
I love it.
We'll see.
So good. I guess that might be a nice little lead into also like a bit of a shift of gears though. I watched a really cool video with you with the Climbing Hanger guys, and you were talking about progress through play, which I saw that. I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be amazing. And it kind of brought me back to when I was like seeing stories of you and Shauna at the Olympics, and you're like doing acro yoga and playing around with tennis balls and like all this stuff. I love this. And tell us more about like this coaching philosophy that you have and play.
I feel like the whole idea of play, it started actually when I was training for the World Cups. I decided to train full time, became Shauna's training partner so we could like kind of do it together. And training has the habit of just being really serious, and like you do it every day. And I'm sure you all know the conversations, or you know, the sort of ideas around discipline is better to have the motivation, because motivation is going to elude you many, many times throughout life. Whereas if you can stick to being disciplined, you don't need to rely on motivation. I was like, well, it'd be nice if motivation was there a bit easier. And again, with my background in gymnastics, I always like to sort of like mess around and do silly challenges. And when me and Shauna were training together, I was like, oh, I wonder if like you could stand on my shoulders. Because I used to, before I left gymnastics, I used to be an acrobat. So before I left, I was a base, so the person that's on the bottom. And I was like, oh, climb up on my shoulders, you're a climber. So she'd climb up and I'd be like, oh, that was easy. I wonder if you can do X, Y, Z. And I was like, hang on a minute. Like, you're pretty capable. You're not very scared. I only dropped her on her head a few times. obviously that got a little bit more risky towards the Olympics, but I got better at not doing that. And what weirdly came out of it was I realized that Shauna was obviously amazing on a climbing wall, like so self-aware and coordinated. If you put her upside down, she had no idea where up was. Like, she couldn't, like, almost, I'd keep saying to her, put your feet together and point your toes, and she was like, I am, and they were like miles apart and not. And I was like, huh. So we actually started messing around to also improve her awareness skills and also to have a bit of fun. Like, when you're training through the winter in the UK, the climbing walls aren't heated. They're also not cooled. So in the summer, it's horrible and sweaty. But it was actually a really nice way of warming up and having a laugh and being happy. And it meant that actually when we started training, we were in a way better mood to do the hard stuff. And you know, the bit that's not always that enjoyable, you just got to get your head down and do it. And when you've started the lesson rolling around on the floor, belly giggling, it kind of comes a bit easier. And I think as well, like when I then stopped competing halfway through 2017, I think it was to basically start moving into the coach role ahead of the Olympics, and to actually be like moving into the coach role at World Cups and stuff. So when Shauna made a final, I can make appeals. And I just found that doing that and trying to train and climb for myself and my own performance was too much. I wasn't doing a very good job of either. So I was like, okay, well, I've competed for a long enough time. I'm 28 or 7 or however old I was then. I'm done. You know, I've had a good time. And so that's, we just carried on. And it was funny because in isolations at World Cups and all, you know, all the competitions that we would do, we would warm up how we would warm up at home, and we'd be throwing balls around, and, you know, she would be climbing on me, and we'd have a certain acro yoga routine that we would do before every comp. Yeah, so we just carried on and we had the same routine, and everyone would look at us like, what are you doing? This, you're being really weird. And it was so serious, and like, it didn't really look like people were having a good time. But I was like, well, if you want to be in a good mood to train, you certainly want to be in a good mood to do competition. So that's kind of where it came from, really. And obviously the Olympics to us was just another competition, even though it was in the middle of, you know, a lot of politics and a lot of noise. It's just another competition with bigger media, you know, stricter rules around what you're allowed to wear. I found being silly or having fun has always put people in a better mood, and you're always willing to try harder, and you're always feeling in a much safer space, and you always have a better time with friends, and you look back and think, that was cool, I want to go again. And it's when you have the training sessions where you're like, oh, I hate that, I'm tired, like, I don't want to go back, I'm dreading the next session. It's like, well, that's not really conducive to moving forwards. And so that's really where kind of, when I see kids playing around and learning, they're having a great time and they're laughing their head off and they're rolling around on the floor. And I'm like, what? Where did we lose that as adults? Like, where did we lose the fun and like let go of inhibitions of kind of looking silly if you don't look silly, but you might feel silly. And so when I've done like dynamic workshops and stuff in the past of like teaching people how to jump and dyno, I actually start with people rolling around on the floor. And it's so weird because at the start of a session, everyone's like looking at each other like, she wants us to do what? And I'm like, stand up, roll on the floor, like lie down, roll around. And they're like, oh. And I'm like, if you do a jump and it doesn't go right, this is what's going to happen. So get on the floor and roll around. And you can start to see people being like, okay. And then before you know it, everyone's giggling their head off, laughing because everyone looks stupid. And they let go a little bit and they're just more willing to have a try. So for me, whether it's training for the Olympics or whether it's teaching someone how to do their first jump, it's all the same. Everyone's a human and everyone just wants to have a bit of fun.
What a refreshing approach. Like, not that I have frequented, you know, not that I spend much time with people who have trained for or with someone who's training for the Olympics, but like the way I envisage it is just like, you know, discipline and push and serious and pressure, and it's really lovely to hear a different way.
I think it can be. I think it definitely can be, and it depends like who you are and what works for you. So obviously, you know, for some people that is probably their version of fun, and that might be what they need to get through it, but that wasn't our version. I think really finding what you gravitate towards is really important, and I think there can be a lot of pressure in the training environment anyway, whether that's, you know, how strong you are or where you are in a training cycle or whatever. It's just kind of nice to let go and forget all that for a little bit. And now actually, if you know, towards sort of the Olympics and afterwards, if you go into an isolation of a climbing competition, everyone's throwing balls around and everyone's doing handstands and everyone's having a laugh and having fun and letting go, because like, it is so serious. When you step out on the mat, it is serious. You have to be focused and you have to kind of be in your A game. And yeah. Can you hear him, by the way?
Yeah. It's so cute.
Adorable.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry. At least he's making those noises and not just farting around. So. But, yeah, it's so serious when you're out on the mat because it does mean a lot. It's a culmination of, it's the tip of the iceberg, a competition, because of how much effort and time and dedication and sacrifice, blah, 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 that you've put into it. So, yeah, that bit's serious. But now, like, the warm-up, people are actually being, it sounds really cheesy and cliche and whatever, but the training and the time that you spend into doing all of that stuff is actually, like, almost more than the performance. It's your life. It's like, it's time going by that you're not going to get back. And if you're not going to enjoy it, I think it's really easy to always focus on the next goal or the next competition or the next climb that you want to do, and you kind of forget to be realizing where you are today, yesterday, you know, tomorrow, like one day ahead, 1 hour ahead. You're like, oh, this is actually quite cool that I'm doing this. Well, you know, whatever your journey is, whether it's to climb your first V5 or, you know, climb your first outdoor boulder, if that's what you're training for or trying towards, just kind of enjoy it a little bit. Finding your own version of enjoyment, that I think is also quite important.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I just find the whole and that can't be truer really for not, like as you say, not just for climbing, but for so many things that we do in life, right? Including parenting.
Well, yeah, I mean, I should probably take my own medicine then. I know I am. I'm like, please don't grow up. But like I said, like when he's awake literally every hour or 2 hours or whatever, I do find myself sitting there in small hours just being like, you're not going to need me forever and you're not going to lie like this and you're not going to want to cuddle. And I have to pick a certain time in the morning where I'm like, okay, the day has started. Once I've done that, I'm awake and it's fine and I'm ready to go. And I don't even think about how much sleep I didn't get. But I mean, yeah, look at him.
He's so cute.
I'm not sure. I know I'm on a podcast, so listeners can't look at him, but you know what I mean.
We can pass on the cuteness vibes. But, you know, I mean, I think it's that thing, like, we do need to give ourselves grace when it comes to sleep deprivation because it's hard, and it's very hard for us to be able to think straight and be the best version of ourselves when we're getting woken every hour and a half. You actually, your brain doesn't have time to download, to process, to even your body doesn't have that time to heal and regenerate like it usually would when you get a nice big block of sleep. So it is a lot of pressure. And I think sometimes you do start questioning your sanity. And like, I think that's completely normal. And we all do it, even when we love them like more than anything in the world. And even when they bring us all this joy, there is always that kind of duality of like, oh, this is so hard and why, but also just like, it's also the best thing in the world. I love that you had already found that power of play before you became a mom, because I think a lot of us kind of discover that as we like start having children ourselves. And like you said, you watch them learn things and they just learn so much through playing. And I think like there's so much value in being able to drop into that space, because I think there's less fear of failure and there's more connectivity in your brain, and there's just so many benefits for being in that sort of a mode.
I think allowing a space to explore and allowing a place to play it again in any walk of life, really, but like especially in the climbing training world, there's so much emphasis around training for climbing. And like, what is that? It's like hanging off a fingerboard. How much weight can you add? How many pull-ups can you do? Have you done your 4x4s today? Or always quantifying climbing and putting numbers in training, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, what about just going climbing? Like, did you feel like you climbed well on the wall? Do you feel like you're moving? Can you jump? Do you feel scared when you jump? Like there's such an other side to climbing that I think when there can be a bit of a trap sometimes that people can fall into when they think about training for climbing and they forget to actually just go climbing. And they're like, why can't I do this climb? And I'm like, well, you're not moving properly. You're not using your hips. You're not doing blah, blah, blah. So I definitely think there's two sides. And I think, again, as a mum and having done gymnastics, trampolining, like all these different sports when I was younger, like what I would love for him is for him to just try such an array of different things. Hopefully, obviously, I would love for him to land on one or two or three that he loves and that he, you know, he's really stuck into. I don't care what it is. Just like be passionate about something. But just to explore so many different types of movement and see what he enjoys. And like we've got some beams in the ceiling. I've put some rings up so that he can start to like pull around on them and hopefully, you know, like swing around on them and just sort of enjoy that when he can. He's already like holding on pretty well with his hands. But again, I don't have a climbing wall here. Like I don't care if he doesn't climb. I just want him to can do whatever it is that he wants to go and do and explore the world through movement. Again, I don't want it to sound cheesy, but whether that's climbing over a fence in the field or, you know, jumping over a puddle, it would be cool if he's confident with that.
Yeah. And like, as you were saying all that, I'm like, it's movement. It's that the benefits and the drive and all those things that you get from like moving your body. And I think, you know, that is something that is tending to get a bit lost in society at the moment because, you know, so much is online, so much is digital. And yeah, it's
so much is powered.
So much is powered.
Like there's escalated, there's elevators, there's, you know.
E-everything, e-bikes, e-scooters.
I mean,
they are still fun though, and there is like.
Sure, there's a time and place. We lose a lot of that incidental exercise, right, mm-hmm. like in everyday life now. Mm-hmm. It can be easy, I think, to drop it off. And then, you know, exercise, if you think about exercise formally, whether that's climbing or whatever sport or movement, you know, it is that you love to do. Once you add a little human into the mix, suddenly your capacity, like you were saying before, Leah, right? Like, oh, hang on, wait, I'm meant to go climbing. When do I go climbing amidst all of this? Because suddenly you don't have the time that you had before. This was something that we wanted to ask you about, I suppose, from a coaching perspective, because I think a lot of women in our community, we've got mums across, you know, the whole parenting span. So newborns, teenagers, grown up kids. And I think something that often comes up is, you know, people are passionate about climbing, but they don't have the time that they used to devote to training. What would be your advice be to them from a coaching perspective, but also now as a new mum in terms of maximizing their training?
thinking. I guess, like what we were saying before, like going climbing is just going to the wall, right? It's not actually doing the sport of climbing. Sorry. He just learned how to blow raspberries and now he's doing it all the time.
Oh my goodness, he's so cute.
I was like, well, was that a big fart or is he blowing raspberries? No.
I'm going to take one ear off so I can actually hear him a bit more because then I can
hear
him.
That was awesome.
Can I just get him a toy? And then he might stop blowing raspberries. Hang on.
Oh, what a sweetheart. That's a, like, solid raspberry. I don't think my kids
can't do them that good.
My kids probably can't do raspberries that good. No. No, I
can't. Well, you've been gone. We've been trying to blow just as impressive raspberries and we can't do it.
It makes him smile, actually. I've been trying to find quiet toys. Oh. They all like jingle and beep and jangle.
Well, they're the fun ones, aren't they?
So, we've got Mr. Dinosaur. There you go.
I love it.
In you go.
We're going to tie up this episode on that cliffhanger of bubbling and gurgling and raspberries and hilarious goodness of loud toys and being a mum. Such a great conversation with Leah, and we'll be picking it back up in our next episode in 2 weeks' time.
To our fabulous listeners at home, thank you so much for coming back on board for season 4. We'll be back again in 2 weeks with the wonderful Leah Crane to hear more about all the fabulous things that she does.